fewer jobless claims across the country, but all job markets aren't created equal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. 405,000 Americans filed for first-time jobless claims last week. The Labor Department said that's down by 22,000 from the week before. Encouraging news that layoffs are slowing, but the nation's unemployment rate stands at 9.2%. In Oklahoma City, that rate is 4.9%, the lowest of any metropolitan area in the country. Michael Cross from Station KOSU reports.
Construction crews are putting the finishing touches on a 340,000-square-foot outlet mall in western Oklahoma City. The outlet shops will contain more than 100 stores and employ more than 1,000 people. Marketing VP Gina Selecta says bringing the mall to Oklahoma City was a no-brainer.
Oklahoma City doesn't know what recession means. Your economy here is very diverse. It's very strong. So the Oklahoma market is very exciting.
The city's Chamber of Commerce estimates the metro area has added 3,400 new jobs this year. Oklahoma's largest city is adding 550 jobs with Boeing's move from Long Beach, California, and a national wireless company is planning a 218-employee call center. So what made Oklahoma City the place to do business?
A lot of it's luck.
That's Chamber President Roy Williams, who's had a hand in getting many businesses to the central part of the state. Oklahoma City has made several investments to attract industries from biosciences to aerospace to energy. Voters also passed a 1-cent sales tax to spruce up the downtown, which is bringing industry and tourists to the capital city. But Williams says the city has to keep a business-like approach.
You don't ever sit back and say, I've got enough customers. I don't need to make any more sales. You know, I'm content with who's walking in the front door. Well, sooner or later, they quit walking in. Every morning, you got to get up and get right back at it.
Just last year, the Kauffman Foundation declared Oklahoma City the best entrepreneurial city in the nation with the most startups per capita. In Oklahoma City, I'm Michael Cross for Marketplace.
Credit rating agencies Moody's and Standard & Poor's are keeping a close eye on debt ceiling talks. This morning's Wall Street Journal reports S&P has told some lawmakers it might cut the U.S. rating if the government fails to pay any of its bills, missing any payment to countries that hold U.S. debt or not sending out Social Security checks. Meanwhile, Moody's says it'll review the U.S.'s AAA rating because of growing uncertainty surrounding the debt. Marketplace's David Gura is with us from Washington with the latest on that story. Good morning, David.
Morning, Steve.
How's this going to affect the debt talks going on in Washington?
Well, this could be a warning shot, something that could scare politicians a little bit, maybe show them what might happen if they don't agree to a deal. I talked to Jan Randolph with IHS Global Insight, and I asked him what this looks like from London, where he's based.
The way they're managing the budget and the deficit and the debt ceiling is moving from one cliffhanger to the next. And that simply isn't the way one should run any finances, let alone that of the largest economy in the world.
Another risk analyst told me a downgrade could be potentially seismic, Steve, something that would affect investors around the world.
So connect the dots then, David. How have the debt talks turned into this global concern?
Well, interest rates on U.S. government debt would go up immediately. Bond investors would get skittish. The situation may be an even bigger problem because other countries, and we've talked about them, Steve, Greece, Ireland, as you know, they're dealing with debt issues of their own.
And who's watching the closest? Who doesn't get paid if the U.S. can't pay its bills?
Well, the U.S. would have to make some tough decisions about this. What it'd be able to pay, whom it'd be able to pay. For instance, if it can't afford, say, salaries for federal workers and Social Security benefits, which would it pick? How would it prioritize that? And of course, there are all the investors that own U.S. debt. Foremost among them, Steve, China.
Marketplace's David Gura in Washington. David, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global shares are mostly lower at the moment, about 0.5% for Europe. Retail sales notched up slightly in June thanks to an uptick in auto sales. The Commerce Department also said today companies paid less for raw materials last month, first drop in a year. J.P. Morgan Chase said today second quarter income was up 13%. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow gained 44 points to close at 12,491.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
The online music service Spotify launches in the U.S. today. It's a big hit in Europe with 10 million registered users. But some music companies are concerned they're going to lose even more sales as listeners stream songs online. From London, here's the BBC's Duncan Bartlett.
Spotify offers more music than any other website except for iTunes. Its library of 15 million songs is searchable, and it's free to listen online, provided you also listen to advertisements. But for $5 a month, the ads are removed, and for $10, you can listen on your mobile phone. 15% of users in Europe pay for these services, but some of the biggest record labels initially refused to join, saying it would hurt sales. The music industry is struggling to find a business model in the digital era and has been suffering a decline in sales for almost a decade, ever since Napster allowed users to download music for free. Napster's co-creator, Sean Parker, is now a managing partner at Spotify.
What I'm trying to do with Spotify is finish what I started with Napster. The distribution model for music remains broken. I've dedicated the rest of my career to trying to fix what I broke.
Leaked figures suggest Spotify aims to have 50 million US users in its first year and plans a partnership with Facebook. In London, I'm the BBC's Duncan Bartlett for Marketplace.
And finally, it's Matrimony in a Machine. An interactive device company has come up with the AutoWed, as in wedding. An 8-foot-high pink vending-like apparatus that'll marry you for just under $2. It's not binding, of course, just ceremonial. The machine, which you can find only in Britain, features buttons for I do or escape. It spits out a couple of plastic rings to mark the occasion. And if the arrangement doesn't work out for some reason, AutoWed also allows you to print out a 10% off coupon for auto divorce. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Note to U.S. companies that want to crack the China market. Here's a profile of your target customer from one of the most successful companies in that country.
You know, a lot of these are migrants. They'll move from these cities, striking it big. They've got their college education, and it's kind of empowering. And so we're trying to capture that in terms of how we are positioning Chevrolet.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Business 101, How to Get China Right. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.